All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go back to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy, chapter 32 tonight. And I want to share something with you tonight about, actually it's an illustration that is given by Moses, an illustration about the concern and the care that God has for His own, and I'm going to show you that here in just a few minutes. But it's an illustration of God's care. That's what I'm going to call the sermon tonight: an illustration of God's care. Do you know God cares for you? Oh my. Oh my, yes He does. Look at verse 7 of this 32nd chapter for just a moment. Verse 7, and we'll read down to verse 11. In verse 7, it says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. When He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people." That's an important statement right there. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Now you remember that Jacob is the patriarch who had the 12 sons, and the 12 tribes of Israel came from those sons of Jacob. Verse 10, "He found him in the desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." Verse 11, "As an eagle," here's the illustration, "as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him." All right, let's pray together, and then I want to speak tonight an illustration of God's care. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now Your richest blessings to be upon us as we open the Word of God. And Father, I pray that You will help me as I speak tonight. I want to be a help. I want to be an encouragement and a blessing. But Father, the only possible way that I can do that is if You use me, if You fill me with Your Spirit and help me as I speak. And so I pray that the Word will make a difference, and that, Father, we will give our utmost to hear what the Holy Spirit of God has to say to each and every heart. So guide and direct now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. In this wonderful chapter, and there are so many wonderful things in this chapter, but in this wonderful chapter, Moses is standing before the people and is challenging them before they cross over the Jordan to enter into the land of promise. And what he does is he asks them to take a little trip down memory lane. He asked them to remember where they were and then how they got to where they are today. And he reminds them that that they got where they were because the Lord had taken care of them from the very day that He brought them out of the land of Egypt and brought them to this moment just before they crossed over into the land. But I want you to notice in verse 7, it says here, remember. In other words, remember what God has done for you. Remember what God has done for you as a people, as his children. And in verse 10, Moses says that he, God, found him in a desert land. He found him in a desert land. What was that desert land? That was Egypt. He found him in a desert land. And the Sahara Desert just comes right up to the Nile River. And you can stand on the plateau of Giza, and you can look over into the city of Cairo, and it is green as it can be. You can just see the green everywhere, and the palm trees and everything else. But then you do a 180, and you are looking at the Sahara Desert. And it is an amazing thing to see the contrast between the dry and barren desert and the fruitful and bountiful land where the Nile River flows and gives it life. And so Moses says, hey, I want you guys to remember. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember from the very day that you left that barren place in Egypt and were brought out, remember how the Lord instructed you and guided you. You say, well, Pastor, just exactly how did God instruct them? Well, he instructed Moses, first of all, he instructed him about the sacrifice, the offering of the Passover. And when he followed that, then he was obedient in walking in the word that God had given him. And so God just continued to give him more. They got to the Red Sea, and they're standing there looking across the Red Sea, wondering, how in the world are we ever going to get over this? I mean, there were no bridges back then. There was no ferry that had been lined up to put them all on and take them over in shifts and then come back and get another load. No, how were they going to get over? And Moses no doubt said, okay, Lord, show us what to do. And so the Lord said, Moses, what's that in your hand? And he said, well, it's a staff. He said, touch the water with it. And he touched the water with the staff, and when he did, the waters began to part. And God instructed them, walk over on dry ground. And sure enough, that's what they did. And once they got over, God just continued to provide and to lead them and to guide them. And they were instructed at every juncture of their journey. Through some of the harshest of territory, God led them. Through the desert, through the wilderness, through the heat, through the storms, God led them. When they needed food, it was the Lord who provided the manna for them. When they got tired of manna and they wanted meat, it was the Lord who introduced to them quail under glass. The quail just came right into the camp. All they had to do was just catch them, just go out and get them. They flew right into their camp. When they were thirsty, God provided water for them that flowed out of a rock. When they had a need, God met that need. When they were attacked, God gave them the strength to fight. I'm telling you, folks, Moses is reminding the people of Israel that it did not matter what the circumstances were, just remember God has always provided in the past. And so, remember, they were instructed at every step of the way. Then notice in verse 10, Moses explains the reason why God instructed and led and protected his people. And if you look at verse 10, you will see that the reason that God did this is because God kept them as the apple of his eye. Now, the rabbis explained that phrase this way. They asked you to imagine a man and a woman standing at the altar getting married. And they are standing holding one another's hands and making holy vows to one another. And the rabbis said, as they stand and hold each other's hands and gaze into one another's eyes, they are so close and they are so intent and they are standing there with so much love in their hearts, and they are standing so close together that when they look into one another's eye, they can see their own reflection in the other's eye. And that is the apple of your eye. And God said that when he looked at Israel, when he thought about Israel, what he saw was the apple of his eye. And Moses told them, hey, listen, here's why God has provided for you at every step of the way. You are the apple of his eye. He loves you. And by the way, folks, that same love can be said about God's love for us today. He demonstrated that, did he not? That's what Paul said. Paul said, but God hath commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the whole idea is God demonstrated, he showed us, just like he showed them how much he loved them by providing for him. And think about it, my dear friend, God has also provided for us. He's provided for you. And God does that simply because he loves us that much. And that leads us now to the 11th verse, and that's the verse that I want to preach from tonight. And Moses is now in the 11th verse going to illustrate God's care in a picture that that everyone could easily see and understand. It is illustrated by the picture of an eagle. And that eagle leads and teaches and instructs and protects and assists her young eaglets at every step of the way. When it comes time for those little birds to go out on their own, it is the mama who is there to teach them and to help them along. Now, I want you to notice that there are five, get this now, look at your 11th verse. There are five words all ending with E-T-H. Do you see that? There are five words all ending in E-T-H. Those five words are all five verbs. And those verbs are showing us five actions of the eagle, which are pictures of God's way of training and instructing and leading us, just as he led the children of Israel. These things can be applied to us today, his church. So that's what I want to do tonight. I want to call to your attention these five verbs. And I trust that that the message will be a challenge and a blessing to your heart. First of all, look at verse 11. And we read in verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. So the first thing that we read here is God stirreth. God stirreth. Folks, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but if you're a born-again Christian, God doesn't leave you alone. I mean, it's this, hey, I'm still here. Hey, don't forget me. You seem to have forgotten me. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm the one that saved you. I'm the one that reached down in the pit and pulled you out. And I want you to notice, first of all, the picture tells us that God stirreth, as an eagle stirreth up the nest. So the question is, why does the mama eagle stir up the nest? Well, the reason that she does it is to get the young eaglets to leave the nest. She stirs up the nest to get them to fly. And in order to do that, she's got to stir up the nest. Now, you know that an eagle's nest is huge. All right, you know it is huge. And the mom and the dad, they work hard. They'll sometimes bring branches this big around, stuff they picked up in the water and brought, and they stick them every which direction, and then pad them with grass, it's just a fascinating thing if you can see one in the wild. And so what she does is she comes along and she takes those massive big old wings she has, and she kind of just flies right straight up in the air, and she flaps those wings, and it causes such a downdraft that you've got that grass flying, you've got the feathers flying. I mean, the eaglets are just standing there scared to death. What's mom doing? She's trying to kill us here. And she just keeps flapping. She goes up in the air, hovers, and flaps her wings, and it's stirring up the nest. So what do the eaglets do? Well, they look up and see mom, and they realize, wait a minute, this is how we fly. So they start flapping their wings. And they are learning from mother. She has so much power in those massive wings. And she does all that to do one thing, and that's to get those eaglets ready to leave the nest. Now, folks, listen. God often disturbs us by bringing things into our lives that stir up our nest. I mean, there are just times where we sit back and wonder, what in the world is going on? Let me tell you something, folks. God never makes mistakes. And so if your nest is being disturbed, then it's time for you to stop and realize that God is stirring the nest because he has something that he's wanting to teach you. Mama wants to teach those birds how to leave the nest. She wants to show them, this is how you fly, guys. Watch. And she flaps those wings and it stirs the nest. And, sometimes we find ourselves in unexplained affliction. Sometimes we find ourselves in unexplained calamity, disease, or sometimes even death. And we find ourselves dealing with trials and difficulties that come into our lives. And those things take us out of our comfort zone. I'm sure those little eaglets sitting there were just as comfortable as they could be. You know why? Because all day long, mama leaves the nest. She goes out and she brings back something for them to eat. They just sit there and gorge themselves. And then they start chirping, and mama flies off again. While mama's gone, daddy shows up, and he's got fish. And so he doles out the fish, and the little birds eat the fish. But that's not enough. So dad takes off again. Mom shows back up. She's got little ground squirrels and rabbits and who knows what else. And she lays it all down, and they just go to town. And finally, mama and dad, they look at one another and say, you know, it's time for these guys to go get their own. You know, it's time. They're wearing us out. It's time for them to leave the nest. And so that little eaglet never had to deal with such a thing as being thrown out of the nest. I mean, that little bird has never had to face anything like they've got to face when mom and dad decide it's time to leave the nest. But with all of us, there comes a time when we must take that leap off the edge and learn to fly ourselves. I mean, we just got to do it. I've told you this before, but on the day that that Karen and I got married, my dad, I was looking out the window, our picture window, and we lived on this great big lake, and I was standing there looking out the window at that lake, and my dad came up and he put his arm around me, and he said, "Well, son, this is it." Excuse me? He said, "This is it." I said, "What's it mean?" He said, "You're getting married in 2 hours. You're on your own now." Man, you talk about something hit you like a ton of bricks. You know, if I needed gas in the car, all I had to do was go, "Hey, Dad, there's no gas in the car." "Oh, okay." And he reached in his pocket. Of course, this was back when gas was 35 cents a gallon, you know. "All right, put $3 in it." You know, $3 a day won't even get you a gallon. But $3 back then almost filled your tank up. And so my dad would, he'd just reach in his pocket and give it to me. And I'd stop and get gas in the car and just keep on going. "Hey, Dad, I need a few bucks. We're going to go get something to eat." He'd reach in his pocket, "Give me a few dollars. We go get something to eat." I mean, and then he walks up, puts his arm around me and says, "Well, this is it." You know what he was saying? Time to leave the nest. You're about to break me. All right? You're running us to death. And so it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to jump off the edge and fly. Let me tell you something, Christian. You can't stay in the nest forever. And if you simply stay in the nest all the time, you are not fulfilling the purpose for which you were brought into this world. You see, eagles were made by God to soar. They were made to fly. They were made to be a symbol of strength. You know, we have several bald eagles here in our county. Did you all know that? Have you seen them? They are beautiful. They're so big. They're, a month and a half ago, maybe late January, middle of January, I was out back on a Monday cutting up firewood and stacking it, and I'm just standing there working away. Well, I got a bunch of it all cut up, so I stopped to stack it. And so I turned the saw off, laid it down, started stacking the wood, putting it in on the pile, and something caught out of the corner of my eye. And I turned around, and flying up the hill, he was no more than 20 feet above me. When he flew over, he turned that head down and looked at me. They are mean-looking creatures. I mean, there was not a smile on his face, I can tell you that. And I just watched it. He was so close, I could hear the wings flapping as he went over. And they are majestic. They are so strong and so big. I was going up to Leanne and Levi's one day a couple of weeks ago, and there was one in the field as you turn off of Clouser onto or off of what's the name of that road, Leanne? Well, you turn off 97 onto your road. Matthias. Yeah, you go off Matthias on the Clouser, and there's a field just right there, and there was a big golden eagle right there. Beautiful thing, bald eagle. Just majestic, huge. And he was sitting there. He had caught something, or a little rodent of some kind, and had it in his mouth. And when I turned on the Clouser, I was no farther away from him than I am from Randy over here. And so I slowed the car down and looked over, and he looks at me and as if to say, "You got a problem?" And I said, no, I don't. And then he just took right off. I'm telling you, they're huge. They're absolutely huge. And God made those things to be symbols of strength. He made, listen, our country has the bald eagle on as our national emblem. I mean, it is just absolutely an amazing creature. And Moses said that there is a great danger of the saints of God, and that danger is that we get too comfortable in our situations and we find ourselves with stunted growth. Let me tell you something, folks, if those little eaglets stay in the nest, mom and dad will just take off one day. I mean, they'll throw them out of the nest. And now I'll show you in a moment that they take care of them when they throw them out like that. But if they don't fly on their own, mom will come up there, flap those wings and give them a little boost. She knows how to stand where she can get a little air underneath them. Poof, right off they go. And so we have a picture here of the saints of God, and the saints can get so comfortable with our situation that we find ourselves not growing. We're just comfortable to stay in the nest. We find ourselves not progressing toward the land of promise. I'm a little fearful that this COVID thing is going to cause too many folks to get comfortable in the nest. I'm really worried about that. And I've told the staff, I've told them a couple of times, guys, it just may be we have to start over when all this is finished. We just may have to start over because there's a lot of people that are just comfortable in the nest. I mean, they like sitting at home and watching it online. And I'm glad you do. Don't get me wrong here. I am not mad at you. I'm not. But I'm saying you best not get so comfortable with the nest that you don't come back and fulfill the purpose for which God reached down in the pit and pulled you out to begin with. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And you cannot assemble with the brethren in your living room. Unless we all come over, and I don't think you want that to happen. Don Graff eats too much. All right, you see the point, folks? Moses said God stirs up the nest with the intent of getting results. And that's why God sometimes stirs our nest, because he's trying to get some results in our lives. Jeremiah 48:11 tells us that Moab, the land of Moab, was condemned because they had, and I quote, been at ease from their youth, and they had settled on their lees, on the dregs. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen a bottle of vinegar, but it'll have this little these sediments down in the bottom of the jar. Well, those are the lees. Those are the dregs. And you got to stir it up if you're going to use it. And so God said that Moab was condemned because they had been at ease from their youth and that they had settled on their lees. The prophet Amos rebuked Israel because of this same issue. He said in Amos 6 and verse 1, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." Listen, Christian, it is not a sin to be comfortable, but if your situation is becoming uncomfortable, God may be stirring your nest in order to encourage you to grow spiritually and do something for him that you have not done before. Like take the Soul Winners Club. All right? Like come to church on Wednesday night. Like come to church on Sunday night. I mean, in some cases, come to church on Sunday morning. You know? All right, second thing, second verb. I want you to notice in verse 11, not only stirreth, but then secondly, he fluttereth. Fluttereth. God said that eagle will flutter the nest. Now, fluttering and stirring are basically the same thing, but she does the fluttering in order to stir. All right? But what does specifically it mean when Moses said that that eagle flutters? The eagle fluttereth. What does that mean? Well, let me say it this way. She stirs when she flutters. All right? She stirs the nest when she flutters. But there's a reason that she flutters. Those little guys in the nest, they watch mom and they mimic her every action. She is showing them how it's done. She's showing them, this is how you fly, kids, watch me. And she'll flap those wings and go right straight up in the air, and then she'll drop down. And then she'll flap them again and go right straight up in the air. And then after a little while, you see the little eaglets. There is a camera down in the Everglades, and they put that camera on an eagle's nest, and I have watched it several times through the years. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating to watch. And you'll see two eggs or three eggs in a nest. And then you come back and see it, and you see these little tiny hatched eagles. And they're just laying there. Mom's got them under her wings. And then after a while, they look like a pillow that has exploded. You know, I mean, they just look like a little fuzzball. And then after a while, you'll see mom, and she's going out, and it's really fascinating to watch as mom and dad go out and bring the food in, and they sit and feed those things. Dad will bring it in. Mom will take it, feed it, and then dad will take off again and get more. Those little guys eat. Why do they eat like that? Because they got to grow. That's why. Why should you and I eat like the Word of God? Because we need to grow. That's why. All right? And so she fluttereth the nest. What is she doing? She's showing those little guys how it's done. And they will quickly realize that the power that mama has in her wings is the same power that they're going to have in theirs. And so the mama eagle is trying her very best to show her babies how to fly. She will just flutter above them. And she's basically saying to them, watch, kids, this is how you do it. You have seen me do this dozens of times now. So it's your turn. Let me see you do it. And sure enough, on that camera, you can see as mom teaches, those little guys will start flapping their wings, and they'll start rising up a little bit, and then they'll come down, and they'll rise up a little bit and then come down. And it is amazing how quickly mom teaches them. This action on her part stirs up the nest, signaling that they need to do what mom wants them to do. And sometimes God stirs up our nest because he loves us. He wants us to serve him. God cares for us, and he wants us to do his will for our lives. He wants us to do what we were created to do. Folks, we were not created to work a job. Oh, we have to do that. But that's not primarily why we were created. You say, well, then why did God make us? He made us to worship and fellowship with him. He made us for fellowship. God wants our fellowship. And folks, it is an absolutely beautiful thing. If you see an eagle soaring in the sky and riding the currents of the wind. You simply smile and you're amazed at the grandeur and the beauty of that bird. It is beautiful when the eagle is doing what it was born to do. And I'm here today to tell you that there is nothing that is any more beautiful than for a Christian to do what is the will of God for their life. Let's get in the will of God. Then thirdly, notice, he spreadeth. Moses tells us the mother eagle spreadeth abroad her wings. Spreadeth abroad her wings. Now, I did some checking on this because I wasn't real sure what it was. So I did some checking on this, and this is a pretty interesting statement. And they were not talking about the golden eagle here in America, or talking about the bald eagle here in America. They were referring to eagles over in the Middle East. But the commentator said that this is saying that mom will spread her wings as those little ones leave the nest. And she'll have her wings spread. She is ready to go. If one of them is falling and it does not look good, mama will just take off and beeline down and break the fall. She'll break the fall so that that little one does not kill itself on rocks below or drown in the water. And so she spreads her wings to catch that little baby as that eaglet falls to the earth. Oh, she's strong. She's strong. But her little ones are weak. She can soar for hours if she has to, but those little ones, they get tired very, very easily. So if they start to flutter down, she is there and she is able to swoop down and carry them back to the nest to safety. And Christian, here is the wonderful thing about our God. You know, our God never blinks. You know that? Our God never blinks. God never takes a nap. God never sleeps. He is watching us and providing for us. He sees every situation that we face. And did not the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God will not suffer us to be tempted, tried above what we are able to handle? All right, so God's watching. He's not going to put on you more of a burden than what you can handle. God is not going to have you jump out of the nest and then fall down into the rocks and kill yourself. No, God is there and he will not put on you more than you can handle. In other words, folks, God is never going to give you a burden that you cannot carry. You ought to write that down. Yeah. That's just profound right there. Yeah. When I wrote that down, I said, ooh, I got to write that down. So I did. I wrote it down in my Bible. Yeah. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. Somebody's probably already said that, but if not, then I said it. All right? I didn't read it from somebody, but I just thought that's pretty good. God is not going to put a burden on us that we cannot carry. That's just the way God is. He cares. And he cares about every aspect. He spreadeth and makes us able to carry the burdens of life. God is not going to lay on us more work than we can do. The psalmist said in Psalm 55 and verse 22 that we should cast our burden upon the Lord. And he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Man, what a promise that is. In other words, folks, God may burden you. God may trouble you to get you soaring. But you can be assured he is not going to let you fall. He will not let you hurt yourself. And oh, what a wonderful God we serve that takes care of us like he does. Number four, I want you to notice the verb taketh. Notice what verse 11 says. It says that he spreadeth abroad her wings, but then taketh them. She taketh them. What does that mean? Well, this involves taking the young eaglet back to the nest and then trying the whole process over again. You know, the idea is if at first you don't succeed, try again. And so if the first time the little one jumps and it's not a successful flight and it goes down and bumps this little noggin on the ground, mama will come back and she'll take it and bring that little one back to the nest. And folks, we may fail at first. We may, as a Christian, fail at first, but God will not stop training us. He will just have to keep putting us through the rigors of trying again. Nothing we do for the first time is ever easy, is it? No. No. I mean, when your children started to walk, they did not just take off across the floor. No, they stood first and wobbled back and forth. And then they walked around the coffee table. And then they walked around the couch. And then one day they got real brave and they went from the couch to the rocking chair and fell, but got back up again and then made it, turned around, looked at you to see if you were going to clap for them. And then once they figured out how to walk, then they took off across the floor, but it did not happen overnight. No, it did. It does not happen overnight. It never does. And folks, we may just have to practice over and over and over in order to do what God would have us do. I mean, we just might have to. But realize God will take care of you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then fifthly, I want you to notice in the last part of the verse, Moses said that eagle beareth them on her wings. She beareth them on her wings. In other words, folks, here's the thought. God will always take care of you. Always. You don't have to question that. You don't have to worry about that. God will always take care of you. God will always bear you up. He'll always bear you up. When your nest is upset, the Lord is there to bear you up. All of us have been who have been saved for any length of time have learned this lesson. The Lord is always there to give us the support that we need. He will provide what you need, and he'll provide it when you need it. And his provision will always be right on time and will be exactly what you need. I mean, it's just the way God works. That's just the way the Lord works. So Moses stood before the children of Israel. And he said to them, hey, everybody hear me. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. All right, so here's the lesson. Here's the lesson. Remember, you look back. Children of Israel, look back. Did not God provide for you? I mean, he brought you out of Egypt. You never thought that you'd ever get out of there. But God brought you out with a high hand and an outstretched arm. And he got you through that Red Sea. And then he got you through that wilderness. And now here you are. When you were thirsty, he gave you water. When you were hungry, he gave you manna. When you got tired of manna, he gave you quail. Don't get weary in well-doing. God's been good all the way along. But listen, they had to learn they had to learn with each step of the way. And it's the same way with all of us, folks. Same way with all of us. When I was a kid, when my mom was sick, she had cancer back in 1960, and I spent a lot of time with my dad's sister and stayed at her house a lot, and she occupied the day by sewing. She would make clothes for people. She was a really good seamstress, and people would come and place orders, and she had all this stuff, and she would show them, and they picked the colors they wanted and the style they wanted, and then she would cut out the clothing and sew it all together. And she had she'd bring a sewing machine in the front room, and she'd turn, she loved to watch the soaps. That's what she called them, the soaps. And she would turn on the soaps. Now, when I was there, I watched the cartoons, all right? But she watched the soaps in the afternoon. And I remember getting just bored to tears. It was pouring down the rain one day, and I was bored to tears, and she's watching the soaps. And she didn't want to talk because she wanted to watch as the stomach turns or something. I don't know what it was. And shh, shh. And she would tell me, shh, shh. And so I got so tired. Well, she gave up on the sewing, moved it over a little bit, and she got this little frame that it was a round thing like this, and she was taking this needle and she was putting it through, and then she'd pull it up and then she'd stick it back down through again, and I was sitting there looking up at it. Now when you look up at the bottom of that thing, it's all frayed, you know? I don't know what do you call that stuff that she was doing? Embroidery? Embroidery? And I'm sitting there looking up at it, and I'm thinking, good grief, are you gonna give that to somebody? That looks awful. I mean, it did, it looked awful. And so finally, I said something. I said, Aunt Bunny, are you gonna give that to somebody? She said, yeah, I'm making it for somebody. I said, who are you making that for? She said, your mommy. I said, you going to give that to mom? And she said, yes, why? I said, Bunny, it looks awful. She said, no, honey, you're looking at it from the wrong direction. She said, come up here. And I stood up and crawled up on her lap, and she took that thing and held it out this way. It was a picture of a deer, big old buck deer, and he's standing by a creek, and the doe is getting a drink of water, and the buck is standing there protecting her. And she said, this is the right view. She said, that view is going to be against the wall. You'll never see that. And I remembered that. I've remembered that all my life. And you know what I see in it? You know, when we're here and when the nest is stirred, when the trials come, when the problems are there, we are down here in the nasty now and now, and we are looking at our mess from Earth's perspective. And what we see are all the frays and all the mess. What we see is that which sometimes does not make a bit of sense. But if we could just get up on God's lap and God say, now look down. You're going to see things from a whole different perspective. A whole different perspective. And Moses said to the people, look, folks, this is how God has led you. He has led you just like the eagle takes care of her young. How the Lord brought them out of the land of Egypt and led them for 40 years in a time of great difficulty. And now here they are on the brink of going in to the land of promise. They're ready to cross the Jordan and occupy that land that was promised to them years ago through Abraham. And Moses says, hey guys, you know, God's blessed us as a people for a long time. And you know this? God will continue to bless all of us in the future as we enter into this land. And as that mama eagle takes care of her little eaglets and wants them to soar, our God will take care of us, and He wants us to soar and accomplish His will and His purpose for our lives. Here's the point, Christian. You can trust your God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we love you tonight and just thank you for your many, many blessings to us. Father, help us in this time of confusion, in this time when all of us have our nest stirred as a church, as a nation, as a people. Father, I ask you to help us to just look to you and trust you as our nest have been stirred. Father, help us not to be fearful. Help us not to be fearful. You created us to soar for your honor, for your glory. Now, Father, help us just that. And I want to pray for my people tonight. And Father, I ask you just to bless and to put your hand upon each of us and to help us to not get weary in well-doing. Father, bless the message to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.